The theme of the lesson today as we continue our journey through the book of Acts is back to business. Back to business. Several things that we've discovered as we've journeyed from Acts chapter number 1 to this point, and really from the beginning of the church in Acts 2, and of course through Christ's disciples empowered at Pentecost, and then now here we are in Acts 15, just at the beginning of the second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. But there's been some things that have been in common. I hope you've noticed these things over and over again. One thing that we've noticed that has been always a part of it is the preaching of the Word of God. The preaching of the Word of God. We've read that statement or some statement like it repeatedly over and over again. And remember, this is the first century church, right? First century church. And so when we think of the first century church, and now we think of this century that we are living in, we don't want to pull ourselves away from what they did in the first century. Because if it was good enough in the first century, it's definitely good enough in this century that we're in today. But we've seen that repeatedly. And they preach the word. And they preach the word. And they preach the word. Next thing that we've noticed in our journey is maybe not this word, but we've noticed it happening, and that is discipleship. Discipleship. Over and over again, we've seen the Apostle Paul and Barnabas going along on their journey, and even before that journey, and then going back to places where they had been, and trying to equip the brethren. Even on that journey, we saw remember that map that we looked at a few weeks ago, and how that they went back to some of the cities that they had been in to be an encouragement to the brethren that were there, and they dwelt there for a period of time, and they continued to teach them. Even we see that in verse 35 that we read a moment ago. And so it's a common theme, preaching of the Word of God over and over again. A common theme, discipleship, teaching and training and equipping new believers. And again, we want to experience the first century way of doing church. And then what else have we seen? Well, we've seen growth. Church growth. Because if you preach the Word of God and if you disciple, what's going to come out of that? Growth. It has to. That's not the goal, by the way. The goal is always God. The goal is always following His Word. The goal is always honoring Him. And whatsoever we do, give all to the glory of God. That's our goal. But when you preach His Word, and when you disciple, and when you follow His Word, there's going to be growth. It could be numerical growth. It could be spiritual growth. There's going to be growth. And we've seen that. But then you know what we've also seen? As just kind of an introduction, all throughout this journey, we've seen persecution. So, if they had it in the first century, last time I checked, the devil's still alive. He hasn't been thrown into the bottomless pit yet. Isn't that going to be an amazing time? While the devil's chained for 1,000 years. Isn't it going to be amazing when once and for all, he is thrown into the lake of fire? That's going to be great. But that hasn't happened yet. He's roaring and walking and seeking and he's trying to destroy. So persecution was in the first century church. We saw it over and over and over again. So just some things that we continue to see why God repeats himself over and over again. We know why, because with this emphasis, it's still very important for us today. Well, we learned last week at the beginning of the, at the end of the first missionary journey, that Satan as well has attempted to disrupt things. Isn't he always doing that? Disrupt things. And we learned about that last Sunday. How that within the church there were Christians that were Jews who were still so much about the law and circumcision in particular. And then there was this brand new church that was primarily Gentiles. Remember, we talked about that. And then they had to take everything to this council in Jerusalem. And it all got worked out. We talked about that. But this is a disruption. What's Satan trying to do? He's trying to split the church. Hey, is that something that we unfortunately hear of even happening in our day, where Satan comes in and splits the church? Look, we need to strive together for the faith of the gospel. If at no other time, right now, I hope we're striving together for the faith of the gospel. The other thing that he was trying to do was mix works with grace. He's still doing that. So just like the first century, we want to be that way for a reason, because the same devil that was stirring it up in the first century is the same devil that's stirring it up today. And we've got, oh yes, I know Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. He was buried and rose again. But if I don't hold on to the commandments, I can't be saved. Well, I don't see that in the Bible. We believe that salvation is by grace alone. And grace alone. But that's not what was the devil was portraying here at the end of the first missionary journey. And then I believe ultimately Satan was trying to prevent any further missionary journeys or to thwart any other missionary work. And that's exactly what he's still doing today. And so this is where we find ourselves now. And something very interesting happens in these verses, and I hope God will help us to see what he wants us to see. So we're finishing Acts 15, but what is happening is missionary journey number 2 is beginning here at the end of Acts 15. Number 1, let's see number 1, the passion for ministry. In the Apostle Paul, Barnabas as well. I love the statement in verse 36, let us go again. I hope that stands out to you too. They just finished a missionary journey. They just finished seeing God do amazing things. They just saw the power of God over and over again. They just saw God work at this council in Jerusalem. And you know, Paul to me seems like a guy who doesn't want any grass to grow under his feet. He seems like a guy that's ready to go. You know, Peter's ready to speak and talk, you know, about Peter, you know. And I'm sure there were many others, but here we see the passion. And by the way, Paul's passion was ultimately for Jesus Christ. And I pray today that your passion isn't for building a big church. We said church growth, but the first thing we said is preaching the Word of God. But I hope our passion will always be the Lord Jesus Christ. What does this mean? This means that it doesn't matter what society does around us. We can get up like the Apostle Paul and say, all right, let's go at it again. Let's go at it again. Let's go back to the highways and byways. Let's get back to soul winning. Let's get back to preaching the Word of God. Whatever it may be, Paul said, okay, there are other places we need to go. Let us go again. You know, I was taken this week to 2 Corinthians. And would you go with me? Hold your place in Acts 15. And I came across some familiar verses probably to you, but a great reminder. And this is Paul writing as well. This time he's writing to the church at Corinth. And we see here the passion of Paul. And look at chapter 4, please, and verse number 1. And I'm just going to read down through and let God's word really be the punch that we need. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. By the way, let's go back to that. We have received this ministry. Boy, I tell you what, everybody is in the ministry. If you're a Christian, you are in the ministry. You and I have the responsibility because of what we have received, right? Like he says there in verse 1, we have received mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. What do we deserve? We know what we deserve. For the wages of sin is death. Death. Let me try that again. I'm still, you know, my voice is still changing. 47 years old. My voice is still changing. For the wages of sin is death. We know that word death is speaking of death in hell. Revelation 20:14. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If you're watching right now and you've never received God's mercy, then you're going to go to hell when you die. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. We don't deserve heaven. But by the grace of God, we can have salvation because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel. And Paul says, because we have received the mercy of God, we have a ministry. What is your ministry today? Who is your ministry today? I believe our first ministry is our family. Our first ministry is our siblings, our parents, if they're still living. Our first ministry is those who we are related to, if you will, our biological family, if you have to say it that way. And whoever you consider family, they are your ministry. You need to give them the gospel, pray for them. This morning in this room right here, we begged God for family members that are not saved. We begged God that He would save them. That's the ministry of prayer. Don't lose sight of the ministry of prayer. That's the power. That's the heat. if you will. It's the stove that keeps the fires stoked up. It's the fire in the stove, and it's the prayers of God's people. Anyway, we've got to keep moving on here. He said, we faint not, but have renounced. Okay, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto him. For we preach not ourselves. This is Paul's passion for ministry. We preach Jesus Christ crucified and buried and risen again. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Oh, if you're saved and you know it, clap your hands, right? Remember that song? You want to sing that one? Let's sing that one. If you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. If you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. If you're saved and you know it, then your heart should surely, life should surely show it. If you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. I need to go back to junior church. I forgot if you're saved and you know it. If you're saved and you know it, you know what that means? Paul said, you have been given light in your heart to give the light. We haven't been given something to keep it. We've been given something to give it. Oh, wow. This is Paul saying, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and that the excellency of the power of God, power may be of God and not of us. It's not about us. It's not through us. It's because of the power of God. How about this? We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. The passion. We are perplexed, but not despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest where? In our body. You are a walking sermon in shoes, sir. Ma'am, yes, you're allowed to preach through your life. You're a walking sermon in shoes. All of us are. We're preaching. What kind of a message are we preaching? I see the passion of Paul. Skip over to chapter 5, verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is for the believer. That everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or evil. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest unto your consciences. When I read this, knowing the terror of the Lord, it takes me back to chapter 15 in Acts, verse 36, where Paul says, "Let us go again." There's people that need to hear about Christ. We got to go. Let's go, Barnabas. We've been around here long enough. Let's go. We've got to head out. There's more places to go. There's more people to see. There's more gospel to preach. The passion of Paul to reach those further out. Go back to Romans. Go back to Romans chapter number 1. There's some words within these verses. Paul, again, writing to the Christians at Rome. But I love the wording here, and I hope it'll challenge you as it's challenged me this week. Look at verse 11 of Romans chapter number 1. We're looking, number 1, at the passion for ministry, and we're all in the ministry. If we're saved, we're in the ministry. By the way, God gives you different opportunities than me to be a minister. Whatever God is allowing into your life and who He's bringing across your path, they may never cross the path of the preacher. I'm not special, okay? I'm just saying that as a sense of the position. And many times we think that the pastor is the one who does this and I do this. No, we all do this. We are all ministers of the gospel. And God may bring someone into your life that I will never see or meet. And vice versa in our weeks. I think about the journey that some of us are on physically. It takes us into the path of people that we may never see, and we have an opportunity to be a witness to them. I think of the opportunities that God gives us to be employment in the jobs that each of you have. You have influence, and you have an opportunity. And I know many of you pray for your coworkers, and we're praying for your coworkers. I'm just saying don't miss out on what God has. He has saved you. His mercy has been poured into you to share with other people. Paul said here in verse 11, notice this, "For I long to see you." That word long is a challenging word, isn't it? There was something deep within the soul of Paul that he wanted to get back to Rome. There was passion for ministry in this man. "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that ye may be established." Listen to this. "That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the" what? "Mutual faith." You see that? You see why it's so important that we gather together as Christians? Paul is saying that we assemble together as Christians, not just in an online format, and praise God for it. But Paul is saying, "I long to get there so that," in verse number 11, "so that both you and me, who have mutual faith, that we can be comforted and we can encourage and we can edify one another." Passion for ministry. I hope that your passion for ministry is inflamed and it's out of control like a wild inferno today, because we haven't been able to meet and we're just chomping at the bit and we're getting closer to that time possibly. But I hope that you're growing in the things of the Lord and you can sense what Paul is saying here in a different way, but we can apply this to us. Now verse 13, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purpose to come unto you." Notice what's in parentheses. "But was let hitherto." Meaning, God didn't allow him to go that way. He had a different course for him. "That I might have some fruit among you also, even as other Gentiles." This is what Paul wanted. "I am debtor both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel." Turn over to chapter 15. Chapter 15 of Romans. I'm just emphasizing something. The passion for ministry. Let us go again. Boy, that'd be a great theme for the week. Amen? Let us go again. We're going into a new week. Let us go. Go where? Into the ministry. Every time we leave the building, we're entering the mission field. Every time we leave the house, it's a mission field. Look at verse chapter 15, verse 22. "For which cause also I have been much hindered." Here we are at the end of Romans. What's he said? He said, "I still can't get there. I've been much hindered." Where am I? 22. "Much hindered from coming to you." Verse 23. "But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years," wow, "to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain." At this time, that was about as far as you could go that anybody knew. Doesn't that tell you something? Paul wanted to go as far as you could go and find people because he had a passion for ministry. "I will come up, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company." Verse 28. "When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me," notice, "in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." And I read these verses this week. God led me to these verses as we consider, as we go back to Acts 15, and just that one statement, "Let us go again." You know, it can be very easy to say, I'm tired of going. I'm tired of this 2021 way of living. And 3/4 of 2020 way of living. I believe we need to have this passion like Paul and say, let us go again. Every day that God gives us is a gift from Him. Henry Martin, a missionary to India and Persia, a man who lived his short life with a sense of urgency that is rare in our generation. Mr. Henry Martin died in 1812 at the age of 31 years of age. A young man. In his final year at Cambridge, he was captivated by the writings of another young missionary who would die at a young age, David Brainerd, who was an early missionary to the American Indians. Henry Martin experienced a total paradigm shift. This young man who claimed he could never be poor for Christ's sake now felt compelled to forsake a prestigious career in order to become a missionary. He wrote, quote, "I almost think that to be prevented going among the heathen as a missionary would break my heart." Did you catch that? To be prevented from going, it would break my heart. "I feel pressed in spirit to do something for God. I have hitherto lived too little purpose, more like a clod than a servant of God." Now, here's the famous statement he made. Maybe you've heard it before. "Now let me burn out for God." He's 31 years old when he passed away. Great story to read about, by the way. Henry Martin, M-A-R-T-Y-N. Passion for ministry. Number two. People are ministry. So ministry is not necessarily the exercise. Right? Preaching, it's important. Singing, important. Soul winning, witnessing. But it's people. Let's go back to verse 36 of Acts 15. Paul said, "Let us go again and visit," what's the next two words? "Our brethren." Our brethren. People are ministry. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying to Barnabas, this is the way it hits me, we need to go back to those new converts. We need to go back to those places. And that's actually what they did. In other words, it wasn't just missionary journey. When we think of Paul's missionary journeys, maybe sometimes we think, okay, he's going to the heathen over here and the heathen over here and the heathen over here. And they're getting saved and they're getting saved and they're getting saved. And then the next time he's going to go to the heathen over here, the heathen over here. No, his missionary journeys were not just that. It was going back to the ones that were already saved. Why? Because people are ministry. I wrote this down. Discipleship is a vital part of evangelism. It is important that when someone gets saved, they have the opportunity to grow. Think about the opportunity that you have right now to grow. Anchor Baptist Church is not a perfect church. Wholeheartedly, we could say that emphatically. But Anchor Baptist Church has tried to create an environment that if anybody wants to grow, underline the word wants, they can. We have the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And this has been our main source of everything that we do. Our main source of our faith and practice is the Word of God. Again, we're not perfect. You don't have a perfect pastor. We got a perfect God, a perfect Savior, a perfect Holy Ghost, and a perfect Bible. We don't have a perfect pastor or a perfect church. But we've tried to create an environment where if somebody wants to grow, they can. We have the opportunity right now for our children to grow in grace. We have the opportunity right now on Friday nights for anyone from Anchor Baptist Church, to come to the RU program. Brother Barry pointed out when I was talking about Ur of the Chaldees for Abraham, that he immediately flipped those two around and said RU. I'm like, man, that's the kind of thing. And I like that. That's a good one. So I wanted to give him credit for that, where credit is due. And maybe God hasn't called you to leave Ur, but he's called you to come to RU. There you go. We'll add a little bit to it. Okay. And so here's what I'm saying, and please accept this from the heart of love for you. That's an opportunity for you to grow by coming to RU and being under the teaching and preaching of God's Word. Do you want to grow? We've tried to create, we have every semester, two semesters a year, we have Faith Bible Institute, a very inexpensive way for you to get a three-year Bible degree of sorts. And it's an opportunity to grow. It's not for everyone, but it could be for you. Why don't you sign up and take semester six coming up and learn a little bit more about the things in Daniel and the things in Revelation and the things that are coming? Why don't you sign up today? If you have a question, let me know. What I'm saying is, Paul said, we've got to go, but we've got to go. He didn't say to the lost. Now we do, but in this context, he said, we've got to go to our brethren. So people are ministry. It is evident that Paul loved the people he had preached to. It is evident that Paul's heart was knit with the people. And I hope we can pray, I hope we can say today as the family of God that our heart is knit with one another and we want one another to grow in grace. You see, here's a thought. The goal in ministry, remember, there's a passion for ministry. People are ministry. What is the goal in ministry? Here's the goal in ministry. To produce reproducers. Write that down and think about it. Please. The goal is to produce reproducers. Who produce reproducers. And on it goes. This is what they're doing here. They're discipling. They're training. In other words, my prayer for Anchor Baptist Church is that we have a church filled with people that are reproducing themselves, spiritually speaking. Disciples that continue. That's a great word, isn't it? Continue. Our whole discipleship program, one word, continue. The book written by Dr. Chappell that we use. We had somebody yesterday start brand new in lesson one of continue. Praise the Lord for that. Another opportunity. Maybe RU is not for you. Maybe Bible Institute. But maybe you've never been through a discipleship with anyone, a one-on-one with a lady or a man. And you say, you know what? I need that. Let me know. Communicate. It's our goal that you would be equipped so that you can equip others. And on it goes. Colossians 1:28. Maybe quickly go over there. Colossians 1:28. We're talking about the people, our ministry. The Bible says, if ye continue in the faith. I like this. This verse reminds me of in the morning getting the coffee beans. You're like, oh, I got to get over here and see this verse. What is he talking about? You'll get it when you read it. If you continue in the faith, grounded. Come on now. Don't be buying already ground coffee. Grind your own beans. That's the only way to do it. Oh, that's not preaching. That's just my opinion. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. And be not moved away. Oh, don't move away. No, don't move away from what? The hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Notice, whereof I, Paul, am made a what? Minister. He's saying to the church in Colossae now, he's saying, be a group of Christians that continue. Be a group of Christians that are grounded on the things of the Lord and anchored in the things of the Lord and settled in the things of the Lord, that no matter what comes your way, you don't get moved away from the hope that's found in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? This is not the way that when we got to maybe 15, 16, 17 years and 20 was in sight, this is not the way we envisioned a 20-year celebration. I remember going over here to the public school with Metro Baptist Church when they celebrated their 20th anniversary, and they had all these big tables set up, and they had a beautiful meal, and we rejoiced in the things of the Lord. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, man, it's going to be great when we get to 20 years. And you know what? It is great. It is great. In 2 weeks, we're going to celebrate 20 years, and we're going to be outside in the parking lot. Pray for good weather, by the way. We're going to be outside in the parking lot, and we're going to be thankful to be given a box of food in our car. So I tell you what you do. You just bring all the settings for your inside of your car, and that would be on the table. This is just coming to me right now, and I got to be careful because sometimes I need to filter. And just bring all the things that you would have on that really fancy table. Have it in your car, set up and ready to go. Some of you think, be creative about this. Bring it, and you can have it out here in the chairs, and we can just celebrate the goodness of God. It's not about all of that. I mean, yes, that would be nice, but that's not God's plan or God's will. What is most important is people. Because people are ministry. And Paul said, be not moved away. Move to the hope that's in the gospel. So, there's passion in ministry. There's people. People aren't ministry. But then, notice verse 36 again, Acts 15. And we won't spend long on this one because we got to spend a little longer on the last one. Number three, the priority in ministry. So passion for ministry, people are ministry, priority in ministry. You can probably guess what that is. Look at verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Preach the word of the Lord. That's the priority in ministry. There are numerous opportunities that missionaries could be involved in, but the teaching and preaching of God's word must be preeminent. There are numerous opportunities that we could be involved in at Anchor Baptist Church, and we want to do more community-type things. But it must come back to giving the gospel. It's the priority, because feeding the hungry is important. Don't get me wrong. Feeding the hungry is important. But if you feed the hungry and you don't feed the soul, you send someone to hell with a full belly. Think about it. I know we don't send them there, but you know what I'm saying. We need to do both. We need to be willing to help someone that's hungry if we're able to do that. But more importantly, we need to give them the truth of the gospel as well. The priority in ministry. And then I need to move on to the fourth one because it's a little bit more cover, but we'll finish here in just a minute. Stay with me, thank you. Number four is the personnel of ministry. The personnel of ministry. An interesting thing happens here. In verse 37, Barnabas speaks up and says, now that word determined, by the way, it has the idea of he was already set on doing it, right? You know what the word determined means. It's not anything unusual there, but it was already in his mind. Basically, you were not going to change Barnabas' mind. Now, that can be good, that can be bad. I will just tell you that I think both of these men were a little bit out of line in the way things ended up, but follow me as we move through this, okay? So Barnabas had it in his mind to take John. Now, who's John? John is John Mark. Okay. Now, this is the writer of Mark, by the way. Okay. The Gospel according to Mark. But John Mark earlier on quit. We don't really know why, but he quit. Look at verse 40. Verse 38. But Paul thought, so in a sense, you got some strong-willed leaders here. You got Barnabas determined, and Paul thought. Now, there's about to be a boom. Okay? And he thought, no, that's not a good idea. Verse 38. Why? Who departed from them from Pamphylia. Just hold your finger and turn back maybe one page. Maybe one page or two. I don't know how your Bible's lined up. In the Schofield Reference Bible, it's down over on page 1166. Just thought you needed to know that, right? Look at verse 13 of 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and who? John. Departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. So he left missionary journey number one. Again, don't know why. So some, you know, I think we obviously need to be a little bit sensitive. But in this case, and again, Paul, you know, let's go. He's like, no. You know, fooled me once, shame on me. It's not happening again. And it got so bad, verse 39, that they departed asunder from one another. Barnabas wasn't going to give in, and Paul wasn't going to give in. So Barnabas takes Mark and goes to Cyprus. Paul chooses Silas, and being recommended by the brethren of the grace of God, he'd go through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So, the first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas. And you would think that would be a great way to go on number two. But, by the way, John Mark and Barnabas were family. They were family. Barnabas was his uncle. Blood is thicker than water, right? He was his uncle. Look at Colossians 4. Colossians 4. Now again, we're kind of ending on a low. I know it's kind of been on a high with the preaching, right? And then we're kind of going down to a teaching time here at the end. But don't, you know, stand up off the couch if you need to and do five jumping jacks. Because don't get into the land of Nod yet, because I think God has something here. Verse 10 of Colossians 4. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments, if ye come unto you, receive him. Now there's also a good indicator there about how it ended, and we'll come to that in just a moment. So this was how Barnabas, by the way, Barnabas extended an invitation to Mark to join him, regardless of Mark's failure or perceived failure. Remember who extended the invitation to a young Christian by the name of Saul? Barnabas. Barnabas stood up for Saul when nobody wanted anything to do with him because he was going to have their head cut off. He's like, no. It's real. He's saved. He did that, you know, this. But now he sticks up for Mark, and Paul will have nothing to do with it. Possibly Paul and Barnabas were both a little bit headstrong and by parting wasn't the best way to do things. But I will say that this is not the first time and won't be the last time that two godly people agree to disagree. In this case, it would be worked out in the end. We'll come to that. What we must never look past is the sovereignty of God. What do you mean? I mean God can and does work through times just like this that we see in our text. Was it God's will that they separate? Well, it was God's will that his kingdom advance. God works through even our failures. All through the Bible, you surely have seen, if you've been in your Bible, God working through people's failures to accomplish his good. One way to look at it is now there are two teams going out, instead of just one, to preach the gospel. God used all four of these men in a very unique way. This is the personnel of the ministry that we're talking about. There are different people in the world today who do not do everything as I do when it comes to maybe even being a pastor or being someone who is in ministry. I know we're all in ministry, but I guess I'll say as a pastor, there's some people that do things differently, and I would maybe not agree with how they do it, but if they're preaching the pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I should not be their enemy. I may not be able to have them preach here, but if I hear of them and how they're doing in the things of the Lord, and people are getting saved and they're preaching, I'm talking about preaching the pure gospel of the Lord Jesus. So let's look at this for just quickly. Silas goes with Paul. I think this is beautiful. They were going with the gospel into the Roman Empire. Guess what Silas was? He was a Roman. Interesting. They were going with the gospel into synagogues. Guess what Silas was? A Jew. Silas was from the Jerusalem church as well, where everything began. In other words, God was in this, even in the disagreement. God had a purpose in all of it. Fast forward ahead. Look at 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. And then one, I got just one other passage. So what about Paul and Barnabas? They were a great team. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:6. For I only and Barnabas have not we power to forbear working. I'm saying Paul alludes to Barnabas in a positive way here at Corinth. And then lastly, 2 Timothy, even about John Mark. You probably read this before. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Paul writes, he's coming down to the end of it. Paul says in verse 10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Then in verse 11, only Luke is with me. Notice what Paul says. Take Mark, same one, and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the what? Ministry. See, the personnel in the ministry. This is something that we really need to think about and meditate on. Not everyone does ministry the same way. God has equipped you with spiritual gifts. If you're saved, by the way, you have at least one spiritual gift. That's a whole other message. But you have at least one spiritual gift that you can use for the glory of God. You can be profitable. Don't look at someone else in the ministry that does whatever and you don't do that and think, what? See, Paul said, bring Mark. See, Paul's mind changed. You know, over time we get mature. We hopefully mature a little bit, right? I'm still trying to mature. But as the Apostle Paul said here in Acts 15, let us go. Let us go. He didn't say let us go. He said let us go again. I want to encourage you, church, back to business. What is the business of why did we get saved? For the work of the ministry. And wherever you are in the things of the Lord, yield yourself to God. God will do great and mighty things. Wherever town, village, we regularly have people watching from Uganda and Liberia. Any of you are on today, we're praying for you. Just keep advancing the gospel. We're praying for 10 acres of land for Pastor Cooper in Liberia. They want to build a farm on it, teach people how to farm, to earn income, to help the ministry grow. Got a great idea in mind. I could never do that. That's not me. But you know what? That's Pastor Cooper. That's how God's speaking to him. I got a picture a few days ago of a foundation. What was it a foundation of? It was a picture of the foundation of the Christian school in Compound in Liberia. Pastor Pace sent me. That's all they have, just the foundation. You know what? He sent me that, and it encouraged me. They've got a vision. You see, all over the world, the ministry goes forth. Let's stay at it. Let's continue at it. Here in Burnaby, there's work to be done. Your city, there's work to be done. Canada, we need laborers. Pray for the Coates family. They're going to be moving to Quebec in 2 weeks. I hope to have lunch with them before they go. And they're leaving before the anniversary. I think they're leaving on the 4th. They have an ultrasound on the 3rd. Pray about that. Got two babies in there. And pray for her. She's doing well. I'm just saying, the ministry goes forth. Every different way possible. Let's be for it. If it's for the Lord, we're for it.